You know, when I sit down to prep for this show every single day, and now 3 hours, of course, here we are, the whole show. If you're new, Clark and the coach were moments ago. This is the whole show. I write down, you know, I always call it a script, but it's not like it's word for word. I just write bullet points of notes that I want to go over. Things I want to talk about, things that we're going to hit. I would say there's like a 20% chance that I hit everything, or we add more, or we start talking about something randomly, or whatever. Or you get big news that just takes over the show. Michael Kirkpatrick, the 467th, is filling in for Jades today. Jades is totally in that pre-party mode before he goes to college.
So I think the kids call it partay.
Partay? He's like, Brady, I'm out tomorrow, man. I'm like, what? When did we just started 3 hours? Jades is gone. He's out, I don't know, going to Waterworld or something, whatever 18-year-olds do a week before they start school, college.
Yeah, those young people.
Those youngins these days. So Michael's filling in. Certainly not a youngin, right?
I'm an olden.
You're an olden. So we get this news. Michael didn't even know because you were producing Clark and the coach. I got Major League Baseball trade news that I'm going to get to. The Padres, are they making a run? Are they going to make this realistic run? And I'm talking World Series run. What are they, 12 games behind the Dodgers? I think the Dodgers won last night. So I'm going to get to that with Juan Soto, Josh Hader yesterday. Padres are, I mean, check your betting sites, man. See what the odds are of them maybe winning the World Series or going. I don't know. I'm kind of excited by it, though. Even though the NL West just destroys the Rockies, although the Rockies have had like a 500 record against them. I still find myself rooting for them in the playoffs because Rockies aren't ever there. But this one. So I first read this story. I was like, oh, the NFL strips Miami Dolphins of 2023 first-round pick. What happened here? Was this with the Flores stuff? What's happening? ESPN posted this an hour ago or whatever. NFL strips Miami Dolphins of 2023 first-round pick. Fines Stephen Ross $1.5 million for tampering with Tom Brady and Sean Payton. So we kind of heard this like rumor in the rumor mill that Tom would have rather gone to Miami before he left New England. And then there's another count that when Tom, before he retired, he was contemplating Miami again and then retired and then knew that wasn't going to go through. So he comes back to Tampa Bay. Wow. So the NFL notified the Dolphins today that the team would be stripped of its 2023 first-round pick, among other disciplinary measures for violations of league policies relating to the integrity of the game. Following a six-month investigation, the league found the Dolphins, primarily team owner Stephen Ross and vice chairman limited partner Bruce Beal, violated the anti-tampering policy on three occasions from 2019 to 2022 in conversations with quarterback Tom Brady and the agent for then New Orleans head coach Sean Payton. Dolphins will also forfeit their 2024 third round selection. Ross was fined $1.5 million. He will be suspended through October 17th, during which time he isn't permitted to be at the Dolphins facility or represent the team at any team event. He also can't attend league meetings before the annual meeting in 2023. How about that? Dolphins vice chairman, limited partner Bruce Beal, was fined $500,000 and isn't permitted to attend any league meeting for the rest of the 2022 season. So if an owner gets fined and suspended, does that mean he can't like have contact with any of his people that he's delegated to? Like he can't text them? Like, if I got suspended, could I not text you, Micah? Man, wouldn't that be something?
Well, you and I text all the time. Like, we're heavily involved in
although
this.
Although I'm not the owner, but
I know, but, like, we're both heavily involved in the station.
Our owner's been suspended for a while, then, because we haven't heard from him for a bit.
Damon.
There it goes. Today's my last day. And just like that, we did 3 hours. Now we're off. So that's what I wanted. That was like my first thought. I was like, what does an owner do when he's suspended? Does he not...
Gets on his yacht.
Can he not text the team? Can he not... He can't be on team facilities. I like it. It is interesting that he can't represent the team. And I know that's not the meat of this story. So The findings say Bruce Beal spearheaded, he's the vice chairman, impermissible communications with Brady, then, of course, the Patriots quarterback, while he was under contract. Wonder what those conversations were like. He's under contract. Like, hey, you should come to Miami. Did Bill Belichick help leak this, by the way? Probably. Ross and other Dolphins executives were informed of the content of those conversations. Both Ross and Beal tampered with Brady once again. So they did it again. Jeez, this is crazy. In 2021 season, when he was under contract with the Bucks, a conversation centered around Brady joining the team as a limited partner and possibly a football executive. So they tried it as a player first, then they tried it as a limited partner and possibly a football executive, although the possibility of him playing for the team was discussed too. Finally, in January 2022, the NFL found that the Dolphins had impermissible communications with agent Don Yee, who represents both Tom Brady and Sean Payton, about Payton serving as Miami's next head coach. The league found that the Dolphins did not seek consent from the Saints to begin these talks and that they occurred before Payton retired later that month. Wow. Dolphins were one of five. How about this? Dolphins were one of five teams that had multiple first-round selections in the 2023 draft before Tuesday's discipline. Miami had acquired additional first-round pick from the Niners, so they'll have that one at least.
Okay, I was going to say, if they lose both of them,
but they still
that
got
would
one.
Be devastating.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell called the league's findings unprecedented. So I'm getting some texts here. We're getting a lot of guests movement on the show today. It's busy. If it's unprecedented, does bigger, like larger action, should that be taken here? Although now you have people going, wow, the owner of the Dolphins is suspended longer than Deshaun Watson. It is interesting because we round away. I told you guys on the show yesterday we have all these inconsistent suspensions and fines and stuff. Well, here's another one. This is for tampering and talking to Tom Brady while he's under contract. And the guy, the owner, is suspended till like mid-October and you lose a first-round pick. That's worse than six games suspended for your quarterback, isn't it? Am I right?
Yeah, but with this is an internal thing.
Correct. What did they do? The rule in the NFL, you do not mess with this game. Do whatever you want with the masseuse. We'll suspend you whatever. But again, isn't that weird how yesterday was all show talking about how you can go out and be a terrible person in the real world, but screw with this game. Bet on this game. Try to take steroids to better your situation in the game. Take air out of the football. Call a player while he's under contract or a coach. Do any of those things, which are all bad. It's all cheating in some regard. It all should be absolutely punished. But you do have this thing yesterday with Deshaun Watson. Some people are going to just clip that right onto it and be like, wow, that guy got worse than what Deshaun Watson did. And Deshaun Watson's a creep. Although, nothing was legally found.
Yeah, with Deshaun Watson, though, you have the law and you have the NFL. With this, it's an internal NFL thing. So the NFL is the only law that's going to handle this. The NFL with Deshaun Watson is just a tack on.
This is why I think the NFL should just say, if they're not found guilty, then we leave it alone.
And that's what
I think the NFL should do.
I agree with that.
Let me ask you this. Tom Brady's the GOAT, right?
Unfortunately.
He's been involved in a lot of icky stuff, though, now.
That's because everyone hates him.
Spygate, Deflategate, and call me maybe Gate.
I'm not so sure about Deflategate. I mean, there's a lot of scientists out there who are like, there are.
But he was still suspended for four games. And I love Tom Brady. And I'm the one who was like, come on. He took like a tiny amount of air out of a football. Get over yourself. Like, it wasn't obvious. It was stupid. Whatever. But when do you start going, all right, dude, Tom Brady's like, is that just because he's larger than life? So when you're larger than life,
you get
you're
an example.
A magnet to this stuff because you know this kind of crap is happening. Guys have taken air out of footballs. They put air in. Guys have had film that they're not supposed to have, whatever. Guys have talked to teams and agents that they're not supposed to talk to
yeah,
while
but
they're
no
under
one
contract.
Cares about when Trevor Siemian does it, no one cares about that. He was a seventh rounder.
That's true. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I'm seeing comments now that, like, Tom Brady's involved with all of these really bad things.
He's the Illuminati.
They're not, like, that bad either. I mean, come on. Bama Bear says, "But we have to break soon. We're not going to get to the good, the bad, the ugly right yet, Michael. Sorry. Both were last-ditch attempts by Ross to win, to try to win a title before he retires and or kicks the bucket, coming from a Fins fan. Also, Miami still holds the 49ers' upcoming first-rounder. Yeah, they'll still have that, which is why I think the punishment is kind of weird. You've already got a first-rounder. So, interesting. All right, 16 minutes after the hour, I want to talk some Nuggets basketball. We haven't talked Nuggets in a bit. Brendan Vogt from DNVR Nuggets is going to be on with me in just a few moments. The NBA is, of course, this is like when the NBA just kind of goes dormant for a moment. So we don't talk a lot about it because we're knee-deep in Major League Baseball stuff, trade stuff. My goodness, Juan Soto and Josh Bell going to the Padres. Yikes. Tanner tweeted out, petition to have the Rockies transferred out of the NOS. Can we trade out of it somehow? Dude, we'll give you everything. 17 minutes after the hour. Brendan coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communication Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKN.
Take it from a guy that played the game. Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard. Weekdays after the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley. And you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Just 22 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now is our Denver Nuggets insider. He's going to be jumping on with us on a kind of a weekly basis, especially as we really dive into Nuggets talk as we get closer and closer. I mean, it's August. We're going to be talking training camp before too long. Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. Brendan, my man, great to catch up with you.
Good to be back, man. Good to be back. It's been a busier summer for me personally and on the Nuggets beat than I expected.
So. Have you had a chance? And I know life gets crazy and stuff, but have you had a chance to get away at all? Or what's that like for you?
Yes, glad you asked. Well, we were in Vegas recently. I had to swing back home for a quick trip, but my girlfriend and I were able to check out Chicago recently. And Chicago in the summer, my man, it's an elite experience. So we had a good time.
I've only been once, and it was not during the summer. But it was actually, I toured and everything. I mean, it was fantastic. It kind of does take your breath away.
It's a great city. It's, as far as the real metropolitan thing, it's New York 1, Chicago 2, in my opinion. So it's a great time.
I'm glad you got a chance to get away a little bit, man. And I'm looking forward to connecting with you throughout the course of the season. Brendan, you and I have talked about this. Maybe we haven't talked as much after all the aftermath of what the Nuggets have done this offseason, but you and I both agreed, and I think all Nuggets media and fans agreed, that this was the most or is the most important offseason perhaps in Nuggets history. In your mind, did they do enough to kind of live up to that saying? Did they complete enough to live up to, hey, this is the most important offseason in our history?
I think so. Obviously, we talked about the tough start they got off to with losing Tim Connelly right off the bat. You know, I've been fortunate enough to get to know Calvin a little bit here over the summer, speak with folk inside the organization, and they're as confident as one could be in Calvin. And when I talk to him, I see why. A prepared and intelligent man who's ready, who has a plan. I think that's really the best way you can articulate it, is he has a plan. It's to bring in perimeter defenders. It's to bolster the defense around Jokic. And when an executive is clear about their plan like that, it's able to sort of evaluate them against it. It becomes real easy. And they did a good job in adding KCP and Bruce Brown. Do we love the DeAndre Jordan signing? Absolutely not.
But maybe like 8 years ago we do. But
yeah, that's right. Look, I mean, it's a veteran, you know, backup center on a minimum. If you'd love to have a better option there. That's probably my biggest issue with the offseason. But ultimately, he came in with a plan, and he followed that plan. I think the Nuggets are in great shape.
What do you think the difference is between Tim Connelly and Calvin Booth? Because doesn't it seem like Calvin Booth, I mean, he hit the ground running and said, all right, I know we got a stud in Joker. The hope is that Porter and Murray come back with their offensive prowess. We have to be better defensively. It does seem like already Calvin Booth is making that, dare I say, more of an emphasis than what we saw with Connelly.
Absolutely. I think Connelly, one way you could sort of view his philosophy as a head decision maker is he will take best player available. He will roll the dice on talent. And he does a very good job fostering real relationships with these players. And while that can be a detriment to a general manager, it's also what allowed the Nuggets to build a pretty healthy culture here. And I think that's a large part of what first Washington and now Minnesota were after in him. Calvin was not afraid to come in here and trade Mr. Nugget and Monte Morris, longest tenured Nugget and Will Barton. He knew what he wanted to do, and he wasn't afraid to do it. I just think his plan is a little more defined, for better or worse, and he, maybe not cutthroat, but he's not messing around. He's got a plan, and he knows what he wants to do, and he's going to follow that plan.
I like that, too. Maybe his plan is a little more refined, because you're right. With Conley, obviously Conley was amazing, did so many of the right things. But maybe this, and again, we'll see, for better or worse, like you said, but it does feel like there is kind of this plan surrounding the Joker as far as getting him some more defensive talent, getting him a couple of scorers around him. Even in the draft, you know, the hope is that Christian Brown works out, and he's a good offensive player, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And give Tim a little credit. You know, the KCP target was on their board going back to last trade deadline.
Okay.
It was a move he also circled, but I still want to double down on that point. I do think Calvin is a little more aggressive in terms of, look, it's just about adding defense right now. And as much as Tim did well in Denver, and that's a long list, a lot of fans are saying, what took so long to add some real defensive wings, some real perimeter defenders? Why is it just now happening? So, I think that's something Calvin's done a good job of. I think his draft followed that philosophy. We'll see about the Peyton Watson pick, but again, as I said from the top, you can evaluate it through the lens of, well, he's a defensive stud and they want to add defenders. And so whether it works out or not, you can at least trace their logic.
Yeah, no question about it. You can see a theme here with what Calvin Booth is trying to reshape this Nuggets roster in. Obviously, it was funny. I was joking with somebody the other day just about, you know, that first move that Calvin Booth needed to make. Well, just make sure you get Nikola Jokic tied up. Everything else will follow suit. You got to get that deal done. We knew it was going to happen, Brendan, but when it happened, wasn't that freaking awesome, though? I mean, you're seeing the best Denver Nugget ever just willingly sign that contract so quickly. He was ready to go. No questions asked. In a day and age where that can be a tough thing, where we see superstars left and right sign contracts, and immediately after, you know, they're not happy. Kyler Murray, they're not happy about it. So, I mean, you look, Joker, I mean, it was we knew it was coming, but it was amazing.
It's a great point. It's the most underrated part about following, covering, rooting for a team with Jokic as their best player. I mean, even Milwaukee had to do this with Giannis. We've talked about that before. It worked out for them. But the pressure in that offseason was unbelievable. And it's not something – when Jokic signed that contract, it was almost anticlimactic because we all knew it was coming. And that's such a blessing for an organization in Denver's position. He's the best Nugget of all time. He wants to be here. He believes they can win here. It's drama-free right now for the most part, and that's a really rare situation.
No question. When all is happy with your star, it seems like everything else just kind of follows suit. Brendan, what are you hearing about Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr.? Because the KCP move, the Bruce Brown move, all of the other moves probably don't really matter if those two guys can't get up to the point at some point next season that we're all waiting to see, you know, what we're expecting from them at least.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say ramping up, but that almost implies that he's not ready to play. He is ready to play. The work he's done kind of five-on-five away from the cameras, we've heard that's all ratcheted up. He was there at Summer League practicing. He's just trying to get as much hoop in as he can right now. The team, I think, will play it safe. He probably won't play back-to-backs right away. maybe there will be a light minutes restriction, although Malone rarely follows those anyway. But he should be ready to go opening night. How much they push it with him, we'll see. Porter's a bit different, not hearing as much, and he's moving in a little more silence these days. You know, a guy who definitely posts all of his highlights, he's not posting them. We're not seeing a lot of them. Have heard that he's in the gym working. As far as how healthy he is, it's a big question for me, just like it is for everyone else.
How concerned are you, maybe about both of them, but specifically MPJ, that, you know, that they are going to have these long careers? These are, you know, Jamal's injury, extremely tough to come back from. Porter's already had a history with that back. So how concerned are you, Brendan? Let's go Porter first. Like, a scale from 1 to 10, that MPJ might not have a long career in the NBA.
Very. I would say beyond concern. I'm kind of expecting
wow.
it. And give him credit. He's really shifted his perspective that way as well. He already talks about his career that way, that it may only be about 10 years. You know, it may be about getting the most that he can out of these opportunities in shorter windows. I think he recognizes that three back surgeries at this age, he won't be chasing MJ or LeBron's ghost, right? It's just probably not in the cards. And he has talked a lot about, you know, wanting to be a healthy and able person moving on from basketball down the line one day. So I give him credit. I think he's had to have a mature perspective on a very difficult situation. But to the point of your question, you're really just wondering, can Porter be good enough at the right time? You know, 1 year, 2 years, does it line up with when everyone's healthy? Is that enough to get you a title? I think so. But it's certainly a different question than another team saying, should this guy be the head of our franchise? I don't think you can look at him that way anymore. We're going to be playing this holding our breath game just about every offseason. It is what it is.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's why you're really hoping, again, on Jamal's side of it, too, that he comes back and we get bubble version Jamal back. And then Bones Highland, who I was pleasantly surprised. I was excited about the draft pick, but my goodness. And how he has just become a nugget. The fans love him. I mean, when he lost his dog, Brendan, everybody's freaking out, man. Have you seen this dog? Well, I mean, I'm looking for it. I'm not even in Denver. Everybody was looking out for the dude's dog. So I just really hope he takes off next year.
Me too. And look, a sophomore leap is a real thing. Is it the leap? You know, that's the proverbial leap. Who knows? But he will be a better player than he was his rookie season. One thing I love about Bones, in this day and age, there's less and less of that connection between the local team and their fan base. These are all NBA players, but that they play for the Denver Nuggets, does it mean they're a part of Denver? 9 out of 10 times, I'd say no. With Bones, it's a yes, and he wants the fans to feel that. And to me, that's just so refreshing. And I think a really big addition, as they move on from guys like Will Barton, Monte Morris, who played versions of that role in the past, you know, it's really just Jokic, Jamal, and Michael at this point that are left. You bring Bones in for him to develop that organic relationship. That's really important. I think as fans, particularly fans of a team like the Nuggets, that's what everyone's looking for.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. Brendan Vogt joining us from DNVR Nuggets. All right, Brendan, so last one for you. When you look at this roster, and like you said, hey, I think they've lived up to that hype as far as this being the biggest offseason ever. Where do you put them right now in terms of the best in the West? I mean, are they top three? Do you have them as maybe a favorite going in right now? And again, that's going to be a big assumption, assuming that Jamal and Michael Porter Jr. are good to go. But assuming they are, where do you put this team?
Yeah, I think they're right there with anyone. Clippers, Warriors, Nuggets, to me, are the best teams out West, if healthy. Denver's over-under right now is 49.5. Now, the juice isn't very good on the over, but it's the easiest over I've ever seen in my life. That's the number they basically hit last season. This team's going to be really good, man. They're going to be very, very good, if healthy. Unfortunately, we'll have to throw that asterisk on all these conversations. But Clippers, Nuggets, Warriors, and then whoever the two teams are out East, you know. But I really think the Nuggets are right in the thick of it this time, and with less stretch of the imagination than in the past.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you, my man. Again, like you said, there's these big ifs surrounding this team, but assuming all can look good health-wise, this team should be able to make a run. Brendan, what are you working on for us? What's the next step for you? I know you guys do great work with your podcast, your write-ups. You kind of do it all.
Yeah, I'll be real busy. I'm hanging out with the Rockies podcast this week a little bit, taking some time off from the Nuggets. We're going to Serbia, though. on the 18th of August.
Sweet.
And it's going to be a week-long trip. We'll be in Belgrade. We'll catch Jokic versus Giannis. We'll do some live shows with our friends over there. So we're going to do our best to take everyone with us on the trip via the content. We'll be bringing Ryan Green, who does that great video production work. We're really, really excited about that one, man. So make sure you're tuned into DNVR Nuggets August 18th through August 26th. That's when we'll be out there.
Dude, I will be glued to that. That sounds like such an awesome opportunity. So enjoy that, my friend. And we're excited to have you kind of a part of the program as well. We want to be able to tell our listeners all about the great work you guys are doing. And we're pumped, man. Can't wait for the season.
My pleasure, my man. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, there he is, Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. Wow, they're going to go to Serbia. That's pretty sweet. DNVR, those guys, we have a lot of insiders on this show that we absolutely love, and they do a great job. All right, just got this in moments ago. Tim Patrick has been carted off of the field. Broncos training camp going on today, of course. Tim Patrick carted off of the field. Newbie even texting in saying holding his knee. So that's what we know right now. So we'll do our best to see if we can find more out about Tim Patrick. But that, if it is, and you know, again, carted off, that is a big deal. Limping off, holding his knee, hurt, whatever. But that is tough. Zach Stevens just posted, KJ Hamler walked into the locker room without a limp or any help. He could be checking on Tim Patrick, which after everything we're hearing about KJ Hamler, sure seems like he'd be the first one to run in and make sure one of his teammates is okay. KJ said he's sure to tell his teammates every day now that he loves them, appreciates them, cares about them. So hopefully that's the case for KJ, that he's not hurt as well. But Zach tweeting out that Tim Patrick didn't put any weight on his leg when he walked from the cart into the locker room. Oh, boy. So we'll certainly try to keep our eyes out for that story, that developing story from Broncos training camp. Got a lot to hit today. Haven't even touched my Method Flow Products poll question. Beauty of three-hour programming now here on the whole show. The UNC Bears were picked to finish last and second to last by both the coaches and media poll. Pretty much both said that they were going to be at the bottom. Are they going to finish higher? A little bit higher? A lot higher, middle of the pack, or maybe they're top team, top tier in the Big Sky. I'm actually going to have the fullback for the UNC Bears, Zach Angelillo, a great friend of mine, and the defensive end, one of the defensive ends for the Bears, Brooks Talkington, another great friend of mine. They're both going to be in studio at once. That is going to be a lot of dude in here, but I'm getting an offensive guy and a defensive guy in here to talk all things UNC Bears, so we're looking forward to that. Plus, I have Cody Tucker from 7220 joining me. He's our Wyoming Cowboys insider. They're knee-deep into practice as well. It is the most wonderful time of year as we prep for the NFL and NCAA football seasons. 38 minutes after the hour, let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, Nugget fans. This is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor for bringing us our game beer of the week. This one's from Tommyknocker Brewing. Peach Dream. It's a fruited sour. Again, keeping along with that summer theme. Sounds about right. Pick up selections from Tommyknocker or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru or pop inside. They're open until 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every single day. And this Friday from 4 to 7 at On the Rocks, the great folks from Berthed Brewing will be on hand for tasting. So do appreciate that. Man, I'm out of breath from the air guitar there, Michael. What? You can't go AC/DC and then Metallica back-to-back like that.
What about Iron Maiden?
That too. I mean, that just gets me going, man. My goodness. All right. Trade deadline stuff. I don't know. Are the Rockies going to do anything? I mean, I'm hearing Iglesias is the big name, kind of, and maybe Chad Kuhl for the Rocks. So, I mean, this is exactly what we thought would happen. In fact, Michael, do we want to get to it? Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly. The good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. I'm going to kind of breeze through this today because it's all Rockies. Do we want that? The good is, I thought Antonio Senzatella, you know, after giving up three early runs, really settled down, pitched six innings for the Rockies. Good for him. I'm just looking for nuggets of good stuff. Not just the Nuggets. Yeah, I'm ready for Nugget season over the Rockies right now. But that's the good story. At this stage, it's slim pickings for the Rocks trying to find good stories. The bad, Chris Bryant, sent on the 10-day IL, so he's going to be out for a while. Might as well shut him down. I mean, you got 2 months of baseball left. Do you consider shutting him down? The race is pretty much over. Everything that we needed to happen for the Rocks to be competitive in that race to the wild card spot has done the opposite, and the Padres are now going to run away along with the Dodgers in this division. Not that the Rockies ever had a real shot of winning the division, but still, it's not looking good at all for this Rockies team. Is my 72 win prediction still intact? Maybe. They're 46-58. Right, Michael? 46-58. The Rocks have been, look at this. Mike, I'm going to give you this used stapler if you can guess how many games the Rockies have won off the top of your head since post-All-Star break. Go ahead. The stapler's on the line, buddy.
One.
Three. You were close. You were close. Found a way to beat Milwaukee. Thanks, Kyle Freeland. Beat the White Sox. Found a way to beat the Dodgers in one of those four of this series. Thanks again, Kyle Freeland. Yikes. It's bad when you just look at all the L's. So that's the ugly. This is the Rockies post-All-Star break. We said we'd know a lot more after the Milwaukee series. Well, we know a lot more now. And it has been a rough go for the Rocks. They've won a game per series now. And unfortunate part is two of those series is were four-game series. So things are getting pretty rough there. Feltner, a doubleheader today for the Rockies. In fact, we're going to jump out at 1:30. Don't worry, we're not preempting the whole show in full entirety anymore for the rest of the season, but we will head out to the pregame show at 1:30. That's not a big deal. We'll see if the Rocks can pull this thing off. They got a doubleheader tonight. Feltner and Yu Darvish going at it on the mound at 2:10, and then they play again at 8:10. Is that right? So we'll have that for you here. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Do want to remind our listeners that tomorrow begins a great time of year. 13 days, 13 teams. Our high school football training camp coverage begins tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Clark Johnson goes, I love this. This is one of my favorite things. I brag about it to everybody I know. High school football training camp coverage. Every single day, or weekday rather, Clark Johnson goes out to a specific high school football team's practice, sets up shop out there for a full broadcast from 5 to 6, and talks all things that team. Brings the coaches on, brings the players on, is watching practice. He's learning about the depth charts and all of that. You're not getting any kind of coverage like that anywhere else when it comes to high school football. Clark will head out to University tomorrow. That will be the first stop, the University Bulldogs. So I'm very excited about that. I heard Mr. Danson, Mike Danson, his color commentator, on with Good Morning NoCo this morning. Great preps team. That preps radio broadcast team, put them up against anybody. So we've got your high school football. Is your team on the list? I mean, that's 13 teams. You can't cover them all. Check and see. You can go check out the full schedule at 1310kfka.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't think it's official yet, but if you guys want to participate, I have a $25 gift certificate to Cables. And this is a soft opening. No, you don't worry about it right now, Michael. Don't worry about it yet. He's getting the winner sheet.
I'm so excited about it.
We're doing a soft opening. It's like when a restaurant opens, a soft reopening of Top Text Tuesday. That's why I said don't grab it now, because we've got 2 hours yet to figure out who's going to win. The best text of the day, voted on by me. I don't trust your judgment, Michael, because you will automatically cancel out Dixon. You got to be fair. If it's a witty text, you got to go with the witty text.
That's true. I would cancel him out.
That's why I've got to be careful with you. I want you to be a part of the vote. I've got a $25 gift certificate to Cables. If this goes off and we text well and the texters bring the heat today, 888-530-0043, then we increase the prizes. We come up with better stuff. Maybe we get a new stapler rather than the used stapler. Who knows? The world is our oyster. We have so many possibilities. Noob, I'm looking at you. Pressure's on you. How about you, Bama Bear? Or is this going to be Dixon's Cables gift card? Who's going to win the Cables gift card today? It's a $25 gift card, and you will win. And if this soft reopening of Top Text Tuesday is worth a damn, and the Hooligans do something, then maybe, just maybe, we reopen this thing, and we go crazy with Top Text Tuesday. So get them in. There's a lot going on. There's chances to be witty. There's all the Miami Dolphins news going on with the Tom Brady situation. We got Broncos in training camp. Rockies are in a dumpster fire yet again. There's plenty of material for you. All right? So it's easy. You guys make the show better. 3-2-1-GO. 888-530-0043. That is the First Advantage text line. Best text of the day gets the $25 gift certificate to Cables Pub and Grill. Best part about Top Text Tuesday is there's no rules on like when you can win. I don't care if you win 87 times in a row. There's no 30-day rule on Top Text Tuesday because you earn it. That's the difference. This isn't, you know, luck of the draw, whatever. This is you got to earn it. So, hey, maybe somebody new wins this thing today. Scott, my man, where are you? So bring it on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 50 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. Oh, we already got one in here. So I want to get you something here. Oh, and we always know the over-under of Den mentions goes up. What's the over-under for Den mentions today? Probably 3.5? I'm going to go 3.5. Bama Bear, news out of the NFL. Brady and Ross allegedly met at some place called the Den. No wonder the deal didn't get done. There it is. That's okay. Bama Bear's setting the bar. Can you guys meet that? Right now, he's got the card because he's the first texter. Can you beat out what Bama Bear just texted? It's a solid start. It's all right. 51 minutes after the hour, we're going to wrap up hour number one. When we come back in the second hour, don't forget, we'll have Zach Angelillo and Brooks Talkington from the UNC Bears football team. We got a fullback and a defensive end in studio. Dude, I've got time to do a few push-ups here. I got to get swole before those guys get in. 51 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Football are on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Fifty-seven minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. I will say this, Michael and I fight like cats and dogs, but when Michael produces this show, we do have that in common. We both know how to jam out. We both know how to jam out.
Oh yeah. We both air guitar.
Yes, we both are air guitarists. I like to think I'm a little bit better than you, but that's through training. You'll get there, buddy.
I think you probably are a better air guitarist, especially since like I'm always headbanging and falling down.
It's hard to focus on the notes when you do that. All right, busy second hour coming up next. Don't forget, as you're listening right now, you already know it. We are a three-hour program. So we are going to keep this thing rolling into the 12 o'clock hour. We'll be right back.